Praise God.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you this morning. We bless you. We praise you. Father, we thank you that you know, as different as our faces are, so are our needs. Needs for healing, needs for divine health, and other needs, Lord. Speak to each and every one of us this morning. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what you have for us today. Mighty God, I thank you that I speak not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of your spirit and your power, that the faith of your children be based on your power and on your spirit, because you have already given. We are just exploring to see how we can manifest that which you have given us. Help us to do so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to start with a question that came last week. Do you remember the question you asked?
No.
You don't. I do. You asked the question. Yeah, you said, what role does our will play in our believing God, in the faith we have to manifest his power and his glory in our lives? And for those of you who were not here last week, we looked at faith for healing.
Did you say faith?
Faith.
Sorry, I just want to
clarify that. I was corrected last week and I'm still messing up.
No, you're saying it correctly. It's just a unique way that we hear.
Right. There you go. Oh, praise God. That was very sweet.
I love that. Praise God.
We love your accent.
We love your accent.
Thank you.
We'll never lose it.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and we looked at how we think, how we talk, and how we act after we believe. I put it in quote now. After we believe that we are healed. You came out for prayer, someone prayed for you, or you prayed for yourself. If you believe in your heart, how do you think? How do you process that in your thinking? How does that reflect in your thinking? How does it reflect in your words? How does it reflect in your actions? Right? Because if you continue to see yourself as sick, even though you said you believe, that's what James was saying to us last week from James chapter 2, right? He says there must be work that demonstrates that you believe. Mm-hmm. We looked at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that faith alone saves, right? Then James tells us faith without works is dead. You know, I preached a message once. I entitled, "What is your faith doing in a coffin?" What is your faith doing in a coffin? You say you have faith. But if you have faith, it won't be in a coffin, right? It will be alive. And James is saying that without works, that faith is going to end up in a coffin. But we don't want our faith to end up in a coffin. We want to think differently. We want to speak differently. And we want to act differently in accordance to what we believe in our heart. Then the question came, what role does our will play in that thinking, acting, speaking and acting the faith we believe, right? Go with me to James chapter 1, We're still with our brother James. I think James is like me. He's very practical. You know, because it's easy to get lost with the like quote unquote jargons of Christianity, faith, righteousness. What does it really mean? How do I demonstrate it? Praise God. So let's look at James chapter 1. If you find it, read from verse 5. From verse 5 to 7. To 8. Who wants to read?
If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, and doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. Mm-hmm. For being as he is a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides.
Wow. I love that version. They were just hitting it.
What version is that?
Amplified.
Amplified. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So, even though he's not talking about healing, he's telling us something about faith. Right? And my title, it's not exhaustive, but my title is Faith, Decisiveness, Another View of Faith. Decisiveness, Another View of Faith. Decisiveness, Another View of Faith. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There are a lot of things we can look at in this particular verse. But you can think in your mind, if any of us need healing, let him ask God, right? If any of us want to walk in divine health, let him ask God. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. New Living Translation says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Praise God, that's comforting. Right? Because some of us, there are some people you want to go approach to ask them for something. You are not sure how they are going to take it, right?
Like they can judge you.
They can judge you. You're asking that question. Being a Christian forever, what's your problem? Right? You might feel that way. You might feel that way. But he's saying, no, God does not do that. Right? He doesn't do that. What does he do? He will give you as much as you need. He will give you as much as you need.
Yeah.
Because
that's what liberally means, right?
Yes. That's, again, the New Living Translation says, ask our generous God. You know, the emphasis there is the generous he will give you. And liberally is that he will give you in abundance as much as you need to overflowing. You know, God doesn't give just one thing, right? That's one thing about salvation that we all need to always remember, that package, that present package, you know, when you open it, a lot of people open it and they just take forgiveness of sin and they walk away. Right? But in that package, what else is in it?
Healing.
What else?
Prosperity.
Deliverance, right? So, our God is always giving liberally. Always giving. So it says, if any of you, verse 6 now, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Girl, read it again in your, just that portion in verse
6.
Yes.
Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind.
Okay. No wavering. Let's just focus on that. No wavering. I'm coming to ask for something. And I go to God who gives generously. And the Bible is saying, don't waver when you come. How can you waver when you're asking for something?
And you're not sure. You're sure. You're not sure it's yours.
So why do you go to ask? Why? Is it so you can feel good that?
Trying all options.
Meanwhile, you're
trying all options.
Other plans are in your back pocket. No, they don't put it on the back pocket. We put it in the front pocket. Our health insurance is here. Okay, Lord, let me see. Are you going to heal me? You know, if you are not, I'm headed out now.
It's so weak.
Not sure, right?
You're doubting.
But is that the only time we waver? When we come to God to ask. I'm still coming to your question about what role does the will of man play?
In my salvation, I didn't have no problem. But that's, like she said, it might be all you asked for.
Yeah.
So you, in that package, you just took salvation.
I'm having trouble with it.
Yeah.
I'm saying the right thing, I think, but I'm not believing like I did with the salvation.
Why do you think it's so?
That's what I keep coming here to find out.
Who knows? You know, it doesn't have to be Ken answering it. Who knows why it is so? Yes.
Well, the salvation, a forgiveness of sin, was kind of implanted in us all along the way. It was taught all along. You know, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But everybody related that to the forgiveness of sins, and it was just implanted in us.
You were just
kind of doubts that. We don't doubt that if anyone comes to Jesus and asks for salvation, that he's going to reject them or not do it. You don't doubt it because his word says it, and we believe that.
But you doubt that he provided the healing.
Yeah, because you can see it and feel it.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, because salvation, you can't really see it. You just believe it. But right. your five senses
and
come into play.
Nobody has really taught it
right.
together. Yeah. Like, I am forgiven and I am healed. Nobody's ever taught that together.
I know I've had some teachers teach it, you know, that it's all in the same, it came all in that one package. But some people still doubt their healing. Yeah,
faith is kind of an amorphous concept. You know, it doesn't have any substance. And I think that probably the key to it is our ability to hear God accurately and know we've heard him. And if we don't have that, if we can ask him, something might come to our mind and... is that God speaking or isn't it? We don't really know. If we knew for sure, if he was here face to face with us, there'd be no doubt. And we'd have faith. But now we're, what is it, faith is the substance of things not seen, and what is it, something more for?
So I hear, and we all are right hitting it, right? The one thing that I want you to think about is, if someone truly stands you up to challenge you, how do you know you are forgiven? Did you see your forgiveness walk away? Did you? It says, I just know it in my heart. It just implanted in our heart, right? That's what you say. You just know it inside, right? It just implanted there.
I don't have to prove it to anybody.
You don't have to prove it to anybody.
But my healing.
You see the key there? You don't have to prove it to anybody. So you're comfortable hiding under this umbrella that you don't have to prove it to anybody. You see that? You don't have to prove it to anybody. I believe you know what happened inside of you. You know it's real, right?
Whether they believe it or not.
Whether they believe it or not, but you start acting out of that which you believe that is inside. And you don't need to prove it to anybody. So why do you need to prove your healing to somebody?
I need to prove it to me because I still feel...
You! Praise God!
So, I'm in pain right now.
Yeah, but that pain in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to it to go in Jesus' name right now.
Go.
Right now. Pain, anywhere there's pain here, I speak healing on it right now. You pain, go in Jesus' name. Amen. On a scale of 1 to 10, if it was 10 before, what is it now?
I don't feel any pain right now.
Praise God.
I did when I walked in here until you started
talking, and then you paid attention to it, and the pain was there, right? Yeah. Now, see, again, I said... See the thinking. You see the thinking. You see the thinking, right? You see that thinking. You see that thinking, right? You see that thinking. So we believe that we are saved. We believe that we are healed. We believe that we are delivered. We believe that we are prosper. Prosperity is our own. Where are those things that we believe we have? Where are they deposited right now? Where are they?
In the spirit.
In the spirit. It's in our new man. Right? It's in our new man. Because I started talking about it last week, that often someone, if somebody mentioned it, you know, how can I say I'm healed when I'm still limping? Some people will look at me. I say, based on what is your own reality, what you have made your reality. And that is why understanding and always having at the forefront of your head that you're born again, that there's a new you, is very, very critical in maintaining everything God has given us. Because if I look in the biological you, hello? What you're looking at now is the biological me. But when I prayed, it wasn't the biological me that prayed. Because the biological me does not manifest the power of God. It came from the new me. And because I'm conscious of what is in that new me, I step forward to lay my hands on him and allow my new me to flow from the power of God onto his body. But when you focus on this biological you, nothing happens. So you have to be conscious of the real you. You have to be conscious of who you are. And I have given illustrations with diplomats, right? A diplomat, a secret, a spy. He might have a girlfriend, and the reason for that girlfriend is so that he can do his job or her job, right? So anywhere they go, they are paying attention. This girl, if it's a guy, this girl might be, you know, floating around and wanting some physical things, but he knows what he's looking for. His mind is set on that which he's looking for. But Christians, we don't do that. We focus on this us. We focus on this. This is neither good nor bad. What makes it good is the new you. What makes it bad is the old you. The old man that was supposed to be nailed to the cross, right? Was supposed to be nailed to the cross. So the wavering, where does it come from? It comes from the fact that we get focused on the biological us. Because if it is mine, then it is mine. All I need to do is focus on that new me, what I received in the new me, and I have to exercise my will to do so. You see the connection? I have to be deliberate. I have to be intentional about it.
I think we have kind of an automatic response to things with no input. And a lot of it has to do with how we're raised and our experiences. If we don't experience much of God, then we don't have much faith. So, but the Holy Spirit does witness to us. And as we experience Him doing things more and more in response to our prayers and see healings, then our faith builds. So it's a quantitative thing. It's not just there or not there. We can have more or less of it.
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that when I'm working on myself, faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And when I'm hearing, I said last week, when you receive prayer for healing, right? And you start thinking, I'm healed. So you start thinking, I'm healed. You start talking, your thoughts need to reflect that I'm healed. And then you start taking the baby steps. If you can't jump immediately, you just do the baby steps, right? That sometimes you may not even be there to do so. I said you do something. Take time out and build your faith up, right? Take the word of God. And I say anytime you take out to get yourself, build yourself up, is never a time wasted. Because once you get there, then that's where my no comes in. It's like, I'm turning this off for a second. It's like this light is off. The moment it hits, that faith hits, bam, the light comes on. But the process you build it up can be gradual. You take the one that really did it for me a long time ago was Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. But we can read 16 and 17. If you find it, read it. I'll show you. Matthew chapter 8. If you find it.
From 16?
Yes, ma'am.
When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick.
Amen.
And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases.
Amen. So I read verse 16. Verse 16 tells me of all these people, demon possessed, sick. God, Jesus Christ healed them, right? Then verse 17 is a commentary about what happened in 16, right? I spent some time there and I took every word and I started, in fact, looked up the meaning in the dictionary. Then I didn't even have access to some of the concordance that we have today, you know. But I started looking up the meaning. Then when I got to he himself, can you believe? He himself. I said, Jesus Christ didn't delegate anybody. He got 12 disciples. He didn't say, you, one of you, Peter, I know you're very, you know, forward. You can just go do this. No, he didn't say that. He himself, he took it. And instantly, a light came on my head. And bam, the healing occurred. But it took me a second to get there. You understand what I'm saying? But that moment it hit, the light came on, the healing manifested. And the next time the pain or the symptom was about to, you know, I said, no, he himself took it. And I know if he got it, you can take it from him. Yes, ma'am.
I had a few healing here a few months ago, and I was in bed, and I couldn't even see really good, and I just picked up my Bible to read. For those of you that didn't hear it, my testimony, I'm just going to kind of shorten it up. But I didn't even read a verse on healing, and I was in pain, and I was reading the best I could barely see, and I had a healing, and God touched my heart, and I was breathing again, my heart was beating right again. And I thought I was going to die. So he saved my, he saved me.
Amen. And here you are, right?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. So my brothers and sisters, we were talking about wavering, right? What causes us to waver? Yes, is the symptom that we feel on the physical. But what is opposite of wavering?
Steadfastness.
Give me another word.
Determination.
Keep throwing them out. There are many words that we can use.
Decision.
Decisiveness.
Risk has something to do with this too. Risk?
We talked about risk last week, right? We said that anytime you're believing God for something, it always feels like you're taking a risk. It always feels like you're taking a risk, right? It always feels that way. But if you hop your car and drive into work, are you taking a risk?
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Right? So life is a risk when you look at it globally, right? So that tells you that it depends on where you want to focus on. Because there's risk in almost everything we do. Some people have bought food from the same grocery store you've been buying food from and got food poisoning. You know? And that is where who we are comes in. Because we are not ordinary people. Like Andrew Womack would say, he said, one third of me is wall to wall, Holy Ghost. Right? So why do I have to focus on just one part, the biological? So going back to that not wavering, it's not taking risk necessarily. That's not what not wavering means. Let's use the word decisiveness. We looked at the woman with the issue of blood last week. That woman made up her mind, was determined from her house that I'm going to push my way through to Jesus Christ. And if I do, I'm going to receive my healing. She literally determined what was going to happen. She was decided. Because one thing about decisive people is they will see it to the end. And if it's an error, oops, okay. Then they know not to go that route again, right? Right? But when you see, would you hire a manager who is not decisive? Nothing, you know. Because God is not the only one that doesn't like undecisive people.
I don't like working with people that are undecisive.
You know, they're always wavering. They're always, you know, you never know where you are with them. Let's stop healing school. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. No, everybody needs healing school. Yeah, I think that's good. It's like, okay, what's going on, right? James is telling us here, Holy Ghost is telling us here through James that wavering people are unstable. They are very unstable. When you're not decisive, the question you need to settle in your mind before you come out for prayer is, can God heal you? Yes. I'm not even asking you that one. Has God healed you? Yes. That I'm asking you now. Has God healed you? Yes. Are you convinced that he has healed you? Yes. Are you? I see some head.
Until I see. Back.
No. Okay. Let's go back. We talked earlier that the package we call salvation has four things in it, right?
I can believe for the one.
Forgiveness of sin.
I'm having trouble with the other.
Divine healing. Deliverance from oppressions of the enemy and prosperity, right? But do you believe that that package contains those four things? Let me rephrase the question that way. Do you believe that that package, salvation that Jesus Christ delivered to you, has all those four things in it? I'm not just asking Ken, I'm asking everybody.
Yes. What four things are you talking about?
Say that again, sorry.
What four things are you talking about?
Forgiveness of sin, deliverance from the oppressions of the enemy, divine healing, and prosperity. Yes, right? It's in that package, right? Hello? It is in that package. So, let me ask that question again. Do you believe you're saved?
Yes.
Do you believe you're saved?
Yes.
Do you believe you are healed?
Yes.
Why? Because it's in that package.
Yeah.
The Bible said so, right? Mm-hmm. You have to establish that in your mind. Do you believe you're delivered?
Yes.
Do you believe you've been prospered? Yes. You have to know it and know it confidently. Because when you come out for healing, and someone is laying hands on you to pray for you, that is not when God manufactured your healing. Hello? Am I making this up? Well, that's what the Bible said. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Put your hands, on James chapter 1. We have time, we'll come back to it. Read it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24.
He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as on an altar, and offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist, to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
By his wound. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. And the reason I like that, read the beginning again. Jesus himself, that phrase is still used in verse 24 here. Jesus himself, he didn't delegate anyone. He did it himself. So no one can ever say he did not do it, right? He did it. What did he take? Your sins. How did sicknesses and diseases come? Came to us. It came because of sin, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. And sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Sin brought death. And the precursor to death is sicknesses and diseases, right? So you were healed If you look at that, the second part of that, read that second part. You have been healed. Not that you will be healed. So when you come out for prayers, you don't need to come out asking for prayer, wavering in your heart. Because you have been healed, what you're coming out for is to activate the healing that God had already deposited inside of your born-again spirit man. The person who prayed for you is not the one giving you the healing. Hello? So the way you can come not wavering, I don't know if this will work. I don't know. I would say find out first before you come. Because otherwise you will come doing what? Wavering.
So we need to decide ahead of time. The pain does not dictate our decision of faith.
No.
God's power.
Yes.
On the cross.
Yes.
Is bigger, overcame our pain.
Yes. That's what decides. Yes. Yes. If you grasp this truth, if you grasp it, you say, oh my God. No. What Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to get for me, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to activate it now. I'm going forward. I'm manifesting it in my body. You have to make that decision. Because often we think that the wavering starts after you have prayed. And then the pain is there. But even before you came out, how did you come out? He said, nothing wavering. You ask, not wavering in your asking. That wavering is qualifying your asking. That woman with issue of blood was not wavering at all. She knew, she heard. She wasn't born again like you and I, right? But she has heard Jesus raised the dead. Mine is issue of blood. I'm still breathing. So this will be piece of cake for him. He already concluded that in his mind, right? He already did. He wasn't coming and said, Jesus, do you think, you know, for all those miracles you perform, it's your blood. Do you think your power can heal that one too? No. He knew that if the same God raised the dead, heal all these people, mine will be a piece of cake for him. And when that happens, you see the result. And again, that time you spend making sure, if you have to go to Pastor Shane and ask him, please tell me more about salvation. You know, I want to understand this salvation. I want to see, or Pastor Jim or Pastor Mike, just go to someone and say, please help me to understand this. Because if I already have it, then I shouldn't be wavering when I'm asking. I shouldn't.
Right.
Can God be trusted?
Yes.
Ask yourself that question. Is it trustworthy? You know, sometimes when I read in the Old Testament, when he said, what sin did your people find in me? What sin have your fathers found in me that make them walk away from me? What unfaithfulness have we found in God that causes us sometimes to just doubt him? Because sometimes it does not, in our brain, we don't process it that way, but that's how it comes across, right? That's how it comes across. But I know you are not doubting that God loved you and saved you, but it's this healing, this pain. It's this pain And that is why you need to focus on what is in that salvation package so that you can come not wavering. Any questions about that? Because I can see some. The facial expressions are like.
Looking for things that could help. And you know, this faith comes from hearing, and hearing is from the Word of God, and it could be the Bible, but it could be direct as well.
Yes. It can be. Yes, you're right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. It can be. Now, let's look at this. My time is gone. And verse 7 said, such people should not expect to receive anything from God. You know, God wants you to be sure of who he is to you, how much he loves you, what he has provided for you, knowing, being confident that he got your back. So when you come asking, don't waver. Be decisive. I'm going, and I'm going to receive it. If you don't, verse 7 is saying, don't expect to receive from him. But look at verse 8, because I want us to talk. I don't have enough time to elaborate on that, but let's touch on it. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man, that double-mindedness. What is he talking about?
If you have your doubts when you're asking, are you going to receive it or not receive it? So double-minded means you're wavering.
So it means you're wavering, right? Who else will give me something a little different from?
Okay, God said it, and that's the truth.
Amen.
And our feelings may present a fact, so we waver between the two.
Whoever between the fact and the truth.
And the truth.
Amen. Amen.
But the word of God is stable.
Amen.
He created everything.
It's settled.
He created everything by his word.
Amen. 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 And that's true. But I want to add another one because of time. I'm just going to add this, give you this one. You know, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. It tells us that you have the mind of Christ. That's your new man. That is healed. That is healthy. The mind he has is the mind of Christ. He's saying you're healed. But your biological mind is saying you are not. So there are double mind here. Which mind are you going with? Are you going to allow the real you to drive this bus, or you're going to displace him? And I'll say, okay, you come drive a little bit, I'll come and drive a little bit. You come drive a little bit, I'll come. That's double-minded, right? As we pray, what I'm going to ask or request is that you take your time to truly meditate on the love of God for you. Meditate on his goodness for you. Meditate on the fact that if you think about yourself, you knew the day you said yes to Jesus Christ, something happened. You knew it. You felt it. The Spirit bore witness with your spirit that something happened and there was a new you created within you that no longer desire what you used to be like. Take time and meditate on that so that you can begin to become more conscious of the real you. So you don't evaluate everything that happens to you on the physical just from the biological perspective only, but just think that your healing is already completed. You have to exercise your will now to allow that your biological you to take a back seat, to stand down, so that the real you will be where you focused on, so you can manifest the healing that you receive. He loves you. He gave it to you. He's not taking it back. The giftings and callings of God are without repentance. Let us pray. Father God, we thank and bless your name for your word. Holy Spirit, package these words that I've spoken today, Lord, the way each and every one of us can see it better and understand it, and produce the fruit up to 100-fold that comes with your word, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that everyone that needs healing will manifest that healing today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need someone to agree with you in prayer, Pat, do you mind joining me, please? You come. We will agree and activate that healing that you already have, so it will start manifesting in your body. But every other person, you're dismissed. Thank you.